Today on Real Radio.
Christians, let's wake up to the fact that we are not going to be welcomed by this world. Stop trying to get the world to like you. It will never like you unless you keep your mouth shut, never mention Jesus, and frankly, come inside this church. They would like to seal up the door so that you never leave.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the last three paragraphs of chapter 11. Now, it's a sizable portion of Scripture where Paul talks about many of his sufferings just because he was proclaiming the true gospel, even when false apostles tried to undo his work. Now, if there's anyone in the Bible who knows what it means to suffer for the sake of Christ, it's Paul the Apostle. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, What Are You Suffering For?
We're going to be in verses 16 to 33, and I know that seems like a big chunk, and it is a big chunk, but it cannot be broken up. Why? Because Paul begins to speak so transparently from his heart that in some ways it's a little bit shocking. Because he's going to say things that in some respects, maybe from our end, are not necessary. It's not necessary he says this. It's not necessary that he says that. But Paul, being under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, why does he say it? And I think it's to get us to all understand that though he was just a man, he was possessed by the Holy Spirit. And that you and I as Christians, though we be just men or women, boys or girls, we too as believers are possessed by the same Holy Spirit. Amen. And that God has called us to make a tremendous effect in the lives that God's called us to be involved in, no matter who or where we may go or who we may be. So this morning, write down the title at the top of your notes. It's, What Are You Suffering For? What are you suffering for? Verses 16 to 33. And let's look at it together. He says to the church at Corinth, who, by the way, remember, their relationship with Paul is very, very much on the brink. He says, I say again, let no one think me a fool, if otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, I'll explain that in a moment, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Verse 18, seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up, listen to this, with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise, for you put up with it. If one brings you into bondage, or if one devours you, or if one takes from you, or if one exalts himself, that is in front of them, promotes themselves, brags about themselves, or if one strikes you on the face, abuses you, to your shame, I say, that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Church, verses 16 to 21 is a preamble for what is now about to follow. In verse 22 down to the end, Paul gives 23 arguments in defense of his apostleship. In light of these false apostles that have been making life difficult for him. He says of them, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Now watch this. Number one, in labors more abundant, in stripes, that is beatings, above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. So five times 39. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Sheesh. A night and a day I have been in the deep, that is bobbing up and down in the ocean. In journeys often, verse 26, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of unbelievers, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false Christians, fakes. Verse 27, in weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things. Well, he's saying now, let me tell you about some stuff that really hurts. What comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble or be involved in a scandal? That's what that word means. And I do not burn with indignation or get upset about that. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my physical weaknesses, my infirmities. Verse 31, that God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. Verse 32, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, listen to this, was guarding the city of the Damascenes, or the occupants, or the people of Damascus, with a garrison desiring to arrest me. An army designed to arrest one man. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Now, the last verse there, a lot of people are wondering, why did Paul insert that? Did it happen? It really happened. You can read the book of Acts and find out more about that stuff. But what's he saying here? What is he listing? Church, are you with me? Watch this. Don't raise your hand, because you'll just all raise your hands anyway. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, a Christian. All right, listen. So we're in Paul's club then, right? The club meaning we're trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't mean the club like you go to Club Calvary, or you go to Club Catholic, or Club Methodist, or Club Presbyterian. Forget that. That can't do nothing for you. As Christians, listen, I hope you're here right now, because we, though we've come from all different walks of life, this is what we have in common. We belong to Jesus. It's not this church. Listen, if you stumbled in here today, you need to hear this right up front. This church can do nothing for you except point you to Jesus Christ, which in my opinion is very cool, as long as we're pointing you to Jesus. And by the way, if any other ministry in the universe comes across like you need them for them to save you, is absolutely crazy. Did you guys see in the news the other day that the Pope excommunicated the mafia? Did you see that? No, really. He said, you can't go to heaven. I don't know what chapter verse that's in, but remember a few weeks ago, the Pope was praying with these Islamic leaders in the Vatican itself? It turns out that the mafia had excommunicated the Pope when that had happened. So now there's an excommunication war going on right now. Look, leave that to the excommunicators. Follow Jesus Christ in everything. And that's what drove Paul. That's what Paul's life was all about. And so here's the amazing thing that's going on. The preamble, those opening verses, he says this to the Corinthian church. All right, here's the deal. You guys are so wise and brilliant. He's being sarcastic to them. The funny thing is they believe it. Paul's finally recognized how brilliant we are. Seeing how brilliant and wise you guys are, I'm going to speak to you guys as a fool. Notice he says, as a fool. In fact, he even goes so far to say, I'm going to do this not through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an amazing statement. It doesn't mean that what he's saying is not inspired. It means he's saying this, Jesus never boasted about what he went through. He's my pattern. He's the one I'm following. So are we. But you guys in Corinth have forced me to become a fool like the people you're following. These false believers, these false apostles, brag about themselves, always, always trying to get you to see how great they are. And Paul says, you guys put up with all this stuff. You're amazing. You guys tolerate everything except the truth. So apparently, if this is how you're reached, then allow me now to be a fool so I can talk to you wise Corinthians. You know what I'm saying? Pretty amazing. And so he begins to speak to them. And what is he doing? He's setting up in his preamble the argument that will for once and for all separate the true follower of Jesus Christ from the false. Because remember who these Judaizers were. They were the ones undermining his ministry, undermining his authority, undermining everything that Paul did. The one thing they couldn't undermine, which was awesome, and it was Paul's confidence, was the gospel. Listen, you can attack people all you want. If you don't like what they're saying, if they're preaching the word and they're faithful to God and they're giving God honor, but you don't like them, you can attack their person all you want. That's what Paul was doing, or that's what they were doing to Paul. They were attacking his person, but Paul stood there in his little body, we know from church history, a little tiny 5 foot tall, bow-legged, ball-headed, hooked nose, eyes close together, scratchy voice, little man. But the power of who and what he was not in his person. The power was in the fact that he was a presenter of the gospel of Jesus. It was the message of the cross. It was the message of Jesus having been sacrificed on the cross, risen from the dead, the Savior of the world, and he preached it. They could not do anything with that message. It's not the messenger, it's the message. And as Christians, that's what we stand by. You say, well, I would do that, Pastor, if I was more like Billy Graham. You're never going to be like Billy Graham. You're not supposed to be. Billy Graham's not supposed to be like you. Well, you know what? I would do it if I was more like Greg Laurie, if I was more like Luis Palau. I don't know. If I was just some like that kind of a, you're not supposed to be that person. As Christians, God has called you and I to minister where we're at, wherever he places us. And listen, the weaker we are, the greater the power of God can be upon us. See, you and I see those superstars in the faith like super strong Samson, like giants. But you know what? I'm beginning to conclude after 37 years of being a Christian that God really revels in our weaknesses. And he finds us who can't do anything in and of our flesh for him, and he's the ones, or we're the ones that he'll use. And I don't know about you, that should excite you. So now you've got this happening, and Paul now begins to address it as we come to the conclusion of this book. It is powerful. And by the way, as you look to this, I'm going to ask you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 real quick, or just jot it down if you would. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Listen, he says, even though I am free, a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people. Why would you do that, Paul? Well, to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I lived under the law. Even though I'm not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. Verse 21, 1 Corinthians 9. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from the law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. To the weak I became as weak, that I may win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He never compromised. Paul didn't go into a bar and order drinks and get smashed so that he could witness to the drunks. He didn't do that kind of, he didn't compromise that way. But what he did was, he went to where the sinners were at, and he began to reach out to them. And by the way, God will do that to you and I always. You don't have to get into their sin to associate with them. See, I can be just like you, but I'm saved. That's not what we're supposed to do. Paul said, I went to wherever they were at, and I didn't judge them and what they were doing because my mission was evangelizing them. Because the assumption is they didn't know the gospel. And so I gave the gospel to them. Once they were given the gospel, they were now responsible. So that's the preamble to get him to make this statement. And so, church, in verses 22 to 23, it's this. What are you suffering for? And as a believer, we are to be suffering. All of us are to be suffering as Christians. You say, well, I don't really like this message. I understand that. I don't either, but this is the Bible. And so in verse 22 to 23, we look at this. When we suffer as Christians, we want to mark this down. Whatever we're suffering for, is it a worthy identity as a Christian? Listen, what I suffer for, and we all suffer. Look, for that matter, even non-Christians suffer. But what we suffer for as Christians, is there a worthy identity to it? In other words, am I suffering for being a Christian? If I'm suffering for being rude, then that's not biblical suffering. If I'm suffering for being a real obnoxious person, That's my fault. You understand that? But if I'm suffering for being a Christian, a real Bible Christian, then I want to make sure that my identity in connection with the suffering is a noble thing. Are you with me, everybody? You're going to get in trouble. You know, look, we've all done this, I assume, right? Have you ever been to Thanksgiving with your family or Christmas? Right? Don't people come in from all over town, your family? Right? Are they all Christians? And you sit at the table, and you know you're feeling bold because you've been going through Bible study, you've been excited, God's in your heart, the Bible's like getting ready to pop out of your mouth, and you'll say something like, hey, you guys, I'm going to pray for the meal. And there's, you know, Uncle Bob or Aunt Wilma or somebody's going to be, she's going to say, ooh, who made him the Pope? You know, they're going to say something, right? They're just going to do it. It's kind of, that's just what they do. Well, we're going to pray now. What's gotten into you? You don't tell me you found Jesus. Are you one of those born like second time kind of people? You know how they do that. And those are cute little jabs, but there's a world out there that will stand up against you. And by the way, that's a little benign family setting, but if you keep pressing Jesus as Lord and Savior, in fact, little bit of side advice here. When you do get the chance to pray over the Thanksgiving when all your believing or unbelieving neighbors are around or friends or relatives, use it as a time to preach the gospel. Just make it short because everybody's hungry. Just say, Lord, thank you for this turkey. And thank you, God, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And as this turkey was sacrificed for us, Jesus was sacrificed for us, that this turkey will give us the strength to continue on. Jesus in his resurrection gives us the strength and the power to walk in the Spirit. And thank you that Jesus rose again from the dead, unlike this turkey that will never see another day again. And God, you're awesome. And Jesus, thank you, Lord God. And let me, amen. And everyone's going to be like this. But do it. Seize it. When you take a stand, the world's going to hate you. When you take a stand, you're going to have enemies. And when you take a stand for Christ, you're going to suffer. And that should be no surprise to us. But is our identity with Jesus, as you know him, worthy? Is it a relationship that's worthy of attack, for one thing? Is it a relationship, listen, that is clear that it's not of this world? A suffering that you and I go through, it's not of this world. Watch what Paul says. Now, look. You have the Judaizers on one side, and you got Paul on the other side. So watch this. Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? Paul is conceding the fact. Corinthians, are they Hebrews? Yes, they're Hebrews. So they take out their little chalk, and they mark touchdown for them. Paul says, so am I. Oh, touchdown for Paul. It's one-to-one. Are they Israelites? And they were Israelites. Touchdown for them. That's two. Two-to-one. Paul says, so am I. Oh, 2-2. Are you with me? They're keeping score. Next thing, are they of the seed of Abraham? This gets kind of dicey, but I see Paul's argument because they really weren't of the seed of Abraham. But according to the DNA, they were of the seed of Abraham. It's 3-2. Paul says, so am I. Oh, it's 3-3. And then watch this. He gives them this. Are they ministers of Christ? Now, he's being gracious to them. Yep, they say they're ministers of Christ. 4-3. They're in the lead. And Paul says, are you kidding me? I more so. All right, we'll give you that. So now it's 4-4, tied. Paul, tied with four. Judaizers, legalists, who are trying to get people to get to heaven by believing in Jesus and doing all these good works and doing all these things in conjunction with the law. Four. It's 4-4, tie score. And watch what Paul does. Listen, our relationship to Christ is not of this world, which means the Christian in any age, in any culture, will not be accepted by this world. Christians, let's wake up to the fact that we are not going to be welcomed by this world. Stop trying to get the world to like you. It will never like you unless you keep your mouth shut, never mention Jesus, and frankly, come inside this church, they would like to seal up the door so that you never leave. But the moment you take Christianity out into the world in which God has sending you out tomorrow to work, to school, to vacation, to wherever you go, the world wants you to be quiet. And I want you to think about that. Why is that true? Because there is a spiritual war, there's powers going on in the invisible scene that is trying to shut down, not so much you, but it's the gospel within you. And the gospel within you is power. And it scares the world. We're going to see as we when we end this message just how scared the world gets. It's not of this world. And so it's 4-4. But something interesting is about to happen. By the way, have you noticed this? In fact, in Luke chapter 11, verse 46, when you talk about legalists, these guys were amazing. These legalists that were attacking Paul, let's remember in our previous studies, they were rich, they were extremely great orators. And we know from history that they dressed up really amazing, they had money, they could talk, they had an entourage, they had a string of black donkeys, black windows, black antennas on the back of the rumps of all the donkeys. They had security guys with little wires running alongside there. And these guys got off and they were the great speakers and they would orate and pontificate in front of the people. And the Corinthians would go, oh, these guys are wonderful. And they were treated with all kinds of perks. And here comes Paul. You could almost hear him squeaking as he walked. His donkey had a door hanging off, you know, it's all dented up, had one ear. You know, it was a mess. And Jesus said in Luke 11:46, he says, "Woe to you, lawyers." Now, that's a word for some of you here today. No, I'm kidding. Now, he doesn't mean lawyers. These were students of the law. "For you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." That's how legalists operate. They will tell you all the rules that you need to keep to be in their group. But they, in secret, they don't even do them themselves. Jesus says, "Woe to you. You're in big trouble." And so that's those guys on this side, and then there's Paul on the other side. And then not only that, verse 23 teaches us that it will not be for this world. You and I, my friend, as Christians, are suffering in this world. We're not of this world. The message is not of this world, even though we can go down a list of things like this. Like Paul talks about being an Israelite and being a Hebrew and being a minister of Christ and all. He can do that. Well, listen, so can you in such a way. Maybe even your own family. You can say to your own brother or sister, you're born in the same town. You were born of mom and dad and all these things we have in common. Listen, this has happened to maybe all of us, if not many of us. But this is where we split. We split over the very, very deep personal things regarding Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how that sets with you, because you may be thinking, well, if we love Jesus and follow Jesus, everyone, there's just going to, you can smell almost like lavender in the air and roses. There'll be a rainbow over our head all the time. And there'll be a sound of both angels' wings and music wherever we go. No, there won't. No, because it's not of this world, and it's not for this world that we live. Jesus said, can you listen, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said that because of your association with me, a man's own family will become his enemy. Isn't that a shocker? Well, in verse 22, this is where he splits with those guys, because they were all about comfort, fame, and wealth.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called What Are You Suffering For? It's a lesson taken from the last three paragraphs of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What are you suffering for? Part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, if Real Radio is part of your daily routine, you can write to Pastor Jack anytime and let him know. We'd love to hear about it. We get a lot of Real Radio listeners' emails all the time, like this one. Thank you for all the messages you provide on Real Radio. I'm so glad I found you, and I'm always blessed to be fed by your meaty sermons. Isn't that a great way to describe them? That one comes from Donnie. Thanks a lot, Donnie, for that. Appreciate it. So, let Pastor Jack hear how Real Radio is part of your growth as a believer. We'd love to hear it. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and simply click Contact Us, and the rest is real simple. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.